And welcome back to Sports Byline. We're sharing with you one of the all-time great interviews we've had over the many years with Sports Byline, our interview with the late Hall of Famer Mickey Mantle.
Mickey, before we get to the callers around the country, you talk about 1961 being one of your favorite years. That was the year, of course, that Maris hit the 61 home runs. Why so?
Well, actually, my favorite year was 1956, you know, when I won the Triple Crown. But the reason I always say 61, I think the 61 Yankees, and I played on some great teams, I think the 61 Yankees was the best team I ever played on. I mean, besides Roger hitting 61 home runs that year, we had probably one of the best infields I've ever seen put together with Cletus Boyer at third and Kubek at second. I mean, shortstop and Richardson at second, Moose and Pepe. We had a good outfield, and Whitey won 25 and lost 4 that year. It was just a great team, and I always thought it was probably the best team I ever saw.
In a sense, was it also bittersweet, Mickey, because of the fact that Roger Maris, the fans really never kind of forgave him for breaking Babe's record, and yet that maybe have been the year that they also started accepting you for replacing Joe DiMaggio.
Yeah, kind of. I think that, you know, well, when I first come up in 51, we trained out in Phoenix, and I hit a lot of home runs in that air out there. And before we got back to New York, Casey had already said that I was going to be the next Babe Ruth and Lou Gehrig and Joe DiMaggio all rolled into one, and then he had to send me down because that pressure got on me. And the reason that 56 was my favorite summer was after I did the Triple Crown and everything, you know, I hit 52 home runs that year, and it just kind of took that pressure off of me. And then in 61, when Roger hit the 61 home runs, I hit 54 that year, and a lot of people was pulling for me to beat him, but there was still our team was pulling for Roger along with me, too. So it was one of the greatest feats I've ever seen in sports, I think.
One more question before I go to the listeners. Knowing how you are somewhat introverted, how difficult was it for you to be as candid about your career and also in the epilogue about your life?
Well, it was the epilogue was... it came natural. I mean, you know, people, like we was talking about at the first there, who was the best, you or Willie or Duke or Hank, those guys that took good care of themselves and didn't overdo it are the guys that played for 20 years. And what I always say is you got to look at the final statistics. And when you do that, Willie and Hank and Stan Musial, Ted Williams, those guys, that they had fun, but they just didn't overdo it like I did. And that's what I try to tell the kids, you know, the little leaguers and even guys my age. When I'm signing books now, going around the country signing that book, I have a lot of guys about 40, 45, even 50 years old come up and say, Mickey, I've waited 40 years for this. I'm glad you went and broke the ice, you know, and told everybody, and I'm glad you're doing good. You got me back on track, and it really makes me feel good to think that I've helped. And I just wanted to, like the thing in the book there, I want to tell the kids, don't, you know, take good care of yourself. Don't do drugs and alcohol.
Yeah, I think your final line in the book is one that's particularly special. Don't end up over the hill before you even start to climb it.
Yeah.
And I thought that was a real strong message to send out to kids. I'll just add a personal note. One of the reasons why we have Sports Byline USA around the country is that I had Duke Snyder in the studio one night, and it was the seed for taking this nationally. A man called, and he said, Ron, I've waited 35 years to talk to Duke Snyder, and tonight you're giving me the chance. And that's really what this is all about. Let's take you around the country right now, Mickey. Richard, Wheeling, West Virginia.
Mickey?
Yes, sir.
I'm going to ask you two quick things here.
No, just one thing, Richard, quickly.
Okay, one thing. All right, the one thing is, what I wanted to ask, there was something that you did. I can't remember. I remember something happening where you told one of the catchers, either Yogi or Elston Howard, to go take a shower because you were sure you were going to hit a home run. It was like a Babe Ruth-type deal. Who was the pitcher? What was that situation all about?
It was in the 64 World Series. Barney Schultz, the knuckleballer, they brought him in to pitch to us in the last part of it. That was the last inning. And Elston was in the on-deck circle. And whenever they brought him in, I went back to Elston. I said, Ellie, you can go on into the clubhouse and get in the shower. I said, I'm going to hit one out of here. Of course, now I got to tell you, that wasn't the first time I called a home run, but that was probably the first time I ever hit one when I did call it.
How many times did you call for home runs?
Oh, heck, I don't know. No telling. Anyway, that home run broke Babe Ruth's home run record in World Series play, too. That was my 16th. He had 15, and it won the game for us. So that was one of the biggest thrills I've ever had.
Warren, where are you driving around the country listening to Sports Byline tonight?
Yeah, I'm up in Rochester, New York.
Go right ahead. You're on with Mickey.
Hi, Mickey.
Yeah.
Mickey, I'm so proud of you and your honesty with the young people right now. I'm just hope, and I'm sure it's sinking in. But real quick, I recall back several years ago, I was a Sunday ball game, and it was in Yankee Stadium. I don't remember who you were playing, and I don't remember who hit the ball, but a ball was hit left center, and you took off out of the crack of the bat. And, of course, as long as you didn't have to turn, well, you had the speed, and unfortunately you couldn't catch up with it. But Dizzy Dean happened to be doing the commentary on TV, and his comment was, and I don't want to knock Joe DiMaggio at all because I think, you know, he was obviously a Hall of Famer, tremendous ball player, but he said DiMaggio would have caught up with that one. And as great as Joe was, I felt he never had the speed that you did, especially in a straight line. And so I had to jump on. We didn't have faxes in those days, so I had to jump on Western Union and send a wire to Dizzy. But I never got a comment on it. And my message was,
well, the reason you didn't get a comment is because he couldn't read.
I don't know.
What was the message?
Well, it was just that. As great as DiMaggio was, he wouldn't have even got close to that ball because he just didn't have the speed. You know, he obviously had the grace and all that, but don't you feel that you were definitely faster than Joe DiMaggio?
Oh, yeah, I could outrun Joe, but he had some kind of instinct. I don't know what it was, but he was unbelievable in getting under balls.
Thank you very much. Jeff, go ahead, Ann Arbor, Michigan.
I appreciate it, Ron. And one thing I want to ask you is about the death of Billy Martin, what effect that might have had on your drinking, and then your thoughts on Ken Griffey making the assault on Roger Maris' home run record this season.
Well, about Billy, the last day I spent with Billy was in my restaurant in New York, and we started out with those, I don't know if you read the story or not, we used to call it Breakfast of Champions. It wasn't a Bloody Mary, but it was probably worse. Anyway, we sat there for a couple hours, and, you know, we had a good cry together and everything, and he went home for Christmas and I went back to Texas for Christmas, and the next thing I know is when I was watching TV that Christmas afternoon, and they said that Billy had gotten killed. And what was the other thing?
Was about Roger Maris's record being in jeopardy with Ken Griffey Jr.
Uh-huh. Well, I think it is in jeopardy. I know that he went by Babe Ruth last night for the month of June or something like
Right, for home runs.
I didn't know those were records. I just thought, you know, I think the main record is to hit 62. That's the thing that means something. Anyway, I think he's got a good ballpark to hit in. He's big and strong, and he's a good athlete, and he's got a great chance, I think.
Okay.
Plus they're playing him.
Let's take you back to your home state of Oklahoma, Quinton, Oklahoma. Sandy, go ahead. You're on with Mickey Mantle.
Hi, Mickey Mantle.
Hi, Sandy.
My great uncle was Pepper Martin.
He no kidding.
New York and
he was a great one.
St. Louis Cardinals.
And uh-huh.
I was in grade school when he died, and I remember that he was wonderful. But it's always been fascinating over the years to look at great pictures, great memorabilia, his World Series rings, and
mm-hmm.
all of that. I was wondering if you ever met him.
I never did get to meet him. I was, you know where Commerce, Oklahoma is, up uh-huh. in the corner?
Yes, I do.
Okay, well, all we got there was the Cardinals, Harry Carey doing the Cardinals mm-hmm. games. Pepper Martin was a little bit before my time, but Stan Musial was my idol whenever I – until I saw Ted Williams hit, and I think Ted Williams was the greatest hitter to ever live. But Stan Musial, I think, came up right at the end of Pepper's deal. So I didn't get to see him. I didn't know too much about him except just what I heard the old-timers talk about, and everybody says he was one of the greatest all-timers.
Mickey, thank you very much for joining us tonight. I'd like to have you back for a full hour the next time when you get home, and you can just kick back in an easy chair and join us. But I'm looking forward to taking this book with me when I climb on the next airplane. It's out by HarperCollins. It's called All My Octobers, My Memories of 12 World Series When the Yankees Ruled Baseball. Are you happy with the way the book came out?
Yeah, I am. I didn't – in fact, I proofread it out in the Betty Ford deal. So, yeah, I was happy with it. I got a kick out of reading it. I mean, I helped Mickey Herskowitz, who wrote it. I mean, I helped him a lot. Did you, real quick, did
sure.
you hear what Yogi said when his book came out?
No, I didn't.
It Ain't Over Till It's Over?
No, I didn't.
He had his press conference in my restaurant in New York,
uh-huh.
and I introduced him. There's about 300 people there, sports writers and TV people, crews and everything. And the first question they asked him said, Yogi, what's your book about? He looked at the guy and he said, geez, I don't know. I haven't read it.
Typical Yogi, wasn't
yeah.
it? Thank you, Mickey.
Bye.
Hall of Famer Mickey Mantle, 18 seasons with the Yankees. He played in 12 World Series, and that's what he writes about, along with the epilogue about his drinking in All My Octobers, which is out and available from HarperCollins right now.
We'll take a break and continue with more of you and Sports Byline.